In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. You know, when I was a child, when I was about your age, my father asked me many times to do some things. He gave me some tasks to do. And sometimes I thought I didn't know how to do it. And he would tell me, don't come back to me. You go back and figure it out yourself. But Daddy, I don't know how to do this. You figure it out yourself. And of course, you know, he would keep an eye on me to see how I'm doing. And guess what? Most of the time, after struggling a little bit, after praying, after trying, you know, to find out how to do it, most of the time I could figure out how to do it. Now, I bet my father would have loved those four men who found a solution how to lay their friend in front of Jesus in today's gospel. What did they do? What did the gospel tell us that they did? They made an opening in the roof and they laid down the pallet, the stretcher, on which their paralyzed friend was lying. Now let me show you here what in fact they did. Please come closer. So this is how houses looked in Jesus' time. Okay? So as you could see, the house was like a cube, okay? And it had an almost flat roof. And as you could see, you know, this man is drying up some fish on the roof. The roofs in those times were used, you know, not only to protect the house, but sometimes people would sleep on the roof. If it was a very warm night, they would dry up food on the roof. And the roof was made of timber from wall to wall, and then some reeds put on top of the timber, and then some dirt and some pebbles on top of the dirt, and then they would roll with a big roller, they would roll those pebbles into the dirt to become waterproof. So what they did, they made an opening in this not very heavy roof, but still it was not an easy work. And let me go to the previous. Can you see the houses had stairs on the side? So what they did, they carried the man up on these stairs, and then they made an opening. They made an opening in the roof, and they laid down the paralyzed man in front of Jesus to be healed. Now, was that not smart? It was very smart. Was it easy?
No.
It was not easy. Even if, you know, their roofs were lighter than our roofs, it was still work to carry up their friend on those stairs and then to make a hole in the roof and to lay down their friend. It was not easy. And it was very ingenious. It was very smart. So, I think what we could learn from this, what I learned, you know, many times, you know, when my father asked me to find a solution. Sometimes, especially when we are young, we think, oh, you know, I'm young, I don't know, I can't do this. With God, anything is possible. Did it happen to you that somebody asked you to do something and you felt like, oh, I don't know how to do this? Did it happen to you? It happened to me many times, it still happens. What am I going to do about this? It seems to be too big of a task. But those four men, they didn't give up. You know, they came with their friend to Jesus' house. The house was full of people. They didn't say, oh, too bad. Too many people in the house. Not enough room for us. We'll take you back home. You're going to stay sick for another, we don't know how long. No, they didn't give up. They took him up the roof. They made an opening in the roof. They laid him down. And Jesus, what did he say? Why did you ruin my roof? Is that what he said? He praised them. And the gospel says, St. Mark says in his gospel that Jesus healed that man because of the faith of the four men who didn't give up. So, when it happens to you, and you, and you, and me, that we don't know what to do about something, I think what we should do is, first of all, not to panic.
What am I going to do about this? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Don't tell yourself that. If you tell yourself, I don't know what to do, you won't know what to do. Ask yourself, what could I do about this? Stop, pray, try to find some peace. Okay? Don't panic, pray, find peace. Look around and see what you have around you. Most of the time, the solution is right there next to you. It just takes a little bit of peace, prayer, and thinking. Or, if you don't know what to do, once again, ask somebody. You know, sometimes, especially when I'm building something or doing something that I've never done before, I go online, I go on the internet. I go to Mr. Google. And I Google, how to? And you know, we have online now, you know, any kind of videos. We even have videos that show you how to do something. Almost anything. So just look around, ask, try to find a solution, don't give up. And then we will be like the four friends, the four very smart friends who didn't give up and found a very intelligent solution to their problem. And because of their faith and because of their intelligence, their friend was healed by Jesus. Right? Thank you very much. That's all for me. Christ is among us. Now in the spring, when the nature comes back to life, when the animals give birth to their babies, we could really see the laws of God imprinted in His creation. And we could see how open-minded even the creation of God is. I preach to the children about being open-minded and trying to find solutions in tough situations. If we look around, even the nature of God is very open-minded and very open to change. Because the nature comes back to life and it keeps the very nature of things, but then the species that are stronger, the species that have to survive, produce new and newer species of plants, of animals, and they adapt to the new world. Come in, Alex. The nature of God is always changing, always keeping what is good, what is essential, and always changing, adapting to the new environment. This is what also St. Gregory Palamas, to whom this second Sunday of Great Lent is dedicated, teaches. He teaches that the grace of God, the energy of God, penetrates the whole universe. This uncreated energy of God penetrates the whole universe and transforms the whole universe, changes the creation of God until the whole creation becomes the kingdom of God. And this is what we also heard in today's epistle reading, when it was said, like a cloak, you'll fold up the creation, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your ears will not fail. God remains the same, and He changed the creation until the whole creation becomes what God knows that it has to become. And we are part of the same creation of God. And we are called, like the rest of creation, to open up the roofs of our minds and of our hearts and to work together with God to be renewed. Basically, when we refuse to change, when an obvious good change is required of us and we refuse to change, we work against God and against the creation of God. The Lord began his preaching by telling the people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change your mind, change your heart, change your life, and you could experience a new life. Repent, change, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Be born from above, he told Nicodemus in that very interesting theological discussion he had with Nicodemus at night. Nicodemus was an old man, and he came to Jesus to talk about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus told him that he would have to be born from above. That's a better translation than born again. And Nicodemus said, what do you mean? I'm an old man. I can't go back in my mother's womb. And Jesus told him, oh yes, you can. Without change, you cannot become what God wants you to become. George Bernard Shaw used to say that those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything. And Einstein said that the measure of intelligence is the ability to change. The measure of intelligence is the ability to change. This is what the Lord preached so many times when he said, I did not come to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And this is, I think, a key balance, because we have to keep what is essentially good and then to offer ourselves to God to change what has to be changed. That's how things work in the creation of God, and that's how things should work within us. This is what we are called to do, especially now during Great Lent, when we are called to a new and resurrected life. This is what we are called to do in our personal life, in the life of the church, in the life of our families, of our companies, etc. Talking about companies, it is a well-known fact that the founder of the big Ford company, the famous Henry Ford, almost bankrupted his own company because he refused to change that Ford Model T. It was a very good car. For its time, it was a very good car. And he believed in that car. But after about 15 years, it was outdated. And his son was trying to convince him to make some changes. No, this is my car, and it's the best car, I'm not going to change it. Dad, we have to do something about this, his son would tell him. No, I'm not going to change it. And he almost bankrupted his company because he refused to change that Ford Model T. Eventually, reluctantly, he agreed, you know, to produce Ford Model A. And things got better for his company again. And he repented for that. Even in the life of companies, we know that if we don't adapt, if we don't keep what is good and improve what we already have, things are not going to get better. It is the same in the life of the church. And so many times, you know, in the Orthodox Church, we get stuck in the mud. This is our tradition. And we don't want to change it. Once again, God wants us to keep what is good and essential, the core of the tradition, the holy tradition. When Paul says in his letter, you know, keep the tradition, he speaks about the holy tradition of the church. Not everything that we have in the life of the church is part of the holy tradition of the church. We have tradition with a capital T and small traditions. But so many times, you know, we get hung up on those small traditions. We don't care so much about the holy tradition. We don't care so much about deification, about the Holy Trinity, about incarnation, about the holy tradition of the church, and we get hung up, you know, on those small traditions of the church that we like. We have to be open-minded and to keep what is essential, to keep the law and the prophets and to fulfill them. To work, we are called now, especially during Great Lent, to work together with God, to keep what is essential, to keep what is good, and to renew what has to be adapted to the new environment, so that we will emerge as renewed persons, renewed families, renewed church communities, as the new Jerusalem envisioned by St. John the Evangelist, when he saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.